Okay, today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Lev, daf Lamed Beis. Today we begin the fourth parak of Masech Sanhedrin. Today's shir is sponsored by Avishai and Elisha ben Numan, Zechusur for Shlema, for Chaim Naftali ben Frumit Freda, and Sarah Freda bas Chaya, Eshavur for Shlema, Besoch Shar Chole Yisrael. So we're going to begin the parak Echad Dine Mamnes. The Mishnah is going to begin by telling us that Dine Mamnes and Dine Nefashos have something in common, but they have nine things that are not in common. Nine differences the Mishnah is going to list between Dine Mamnes and Dine Nefashos. Then the Gemara is going to bring a brisa that seems to contradict the idea of what they do have in common, meaning the Mishnah is going to say what they have in common is that they both require drisha v'chakira, which means Dine Mamnes also requires drisha v'chakira. The Gemara is going to bring a brisa that seems to indicate that Dine Mamnes does not require drisha v'chakira, and we're going to have three ways of resolving that contradiction. And then on Amud Beis, through the resolution, the third resolution of that contradiction, it's going to explain, the third answer is going to explain the pasuk tzedek tzedek tirdof. So the Gemara is going to have a couple of other explanations of the pasuk of tzedek tzedek tirdof that's going to appear on Amud Beis. And then at the very end of the daf, the Gemara is going to discuss what it is that the Beis Din has to say by Dine Nefashos when we say poschen l'zchus. You begin the discussions in Beis Din of Dine Nefashos l'zchus. How are you poseach l'zchus? Two Edom come to Beis Din and they say, Reuven killed Shimon. What are they supposed to say? So the Gemara is going to have six different opinions of what they say that's honest and that is still poseach l'zchus. So let's begin with the Mishnah on the top, Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. Echad Dine Mamnes v'echad Dine Nefashos b'drisha b'chakira. Both Dine Mamnes and Dine Nefashos require drisha b'chakira. Shnemar mishpat echad yelachem. That's what they have in common. But ma bein Dine Mamnes v'Dine Nefashos? What are the differences between Dine Mamnes and Dine Nefashos? Well, there are nine differences between Dine Mamnes and Dine Nefashos. And l'chara, it's strange that there are any differences between Dine Mamnes and Dine Nefashos. Tosus already points out in Dibra Masal Echad, ma ben dinim mamnes dinim fashos, afgav deshavim b'chakir v'drisha midachsiv, mishpat echad yelachem, meaning it's based on a pasuk. Pasuk says mishpat echad yelachem, which makes it sound like they should have all of the same dinim. So it is somewhat stunning that there are nine differences between them. Le'inyan mili detolub b'zchus v'chova ein lashvosam delo shayach b'dinim mamnes. So Tosfos has an important ha'ara. That's true on those things that they can relate to each other on, but when it comes to zchus and chova, the whole concept of zchus and chova doesn't make sense in dinim mamnes, because what's a zchus for one guy is a chova for the other guy. So by anything that's zchus v'chova, they're not going to be the same. There is no objective zchus and objective chova. It's all subjective to the person. What's a zchus for me is a chova for the other person. And that's where all of these nine differences come into play. The Tosa Rush adds that the Gemara later on is going to dash him from the pasuk lo sata mishpat avyoncha berivo, that only dinei nefashos were not mata l'chova al piyachad, but a mishpat shor niskal we are mata l'chova al piyachad. So you see, by dinei mamnes we're not choshesh if they're mata l'chova. And the Chiddush Aran on the kasha that Tosis asks, on Tosis Teretz, Chiddush Aran says, I'm not satisfied with Tosis Teretz, because the din that by din and fashos your maschil menatzad, which is one of the nine differences that we start with, some of the smaller dayanim, not the greatest of the dayanim, it has nothing to do with zchus or chova. That's something that din and mamnes and din and fashos should have been the same according to Tosis' logic. So he says the din that din and mamnes is b'shloshe, din and mamnes that's not really such a kasha, the number of dayanim, because that's derived from psukim, you know, like we learned all the way back in Daf Beis and Daf Gimel. And also the idea that Gomer Belaila, and din, that you're Dina Mamnus, you could be Gomer Belaila, Dina Fash is not, you're not Gomer Belaila, you can only be Gomer Bayom, is also derived from psukim. But the idea of Maschil and Atzad, that's Taka Akasha, meaning that's not really covered by Tosa's answer. So that's why the Ran has a different approach. Because since Tosa's answer doesn't answer all nine differences, the Ran says we have to take a different approach. And he suggests that the Pasuk, Mishpat Echad Yelachem, which equates Dine Mamnes and Dine Nefashos, is only on things that relate to the Iker Hadin, Kabbalas Eidos, Drisha V'Chakira, but Hanhagas HaDayanim, the way the Dayanim themselves behave and the way the Dayanim themselves go about processing the Din, by Dine Mamnes does not have to equal Dine Nefashos, because it makes more sense to be Machmir dinner by dinner nefashos, more so than by dinner mamnas. So the ikra din in achnami, that's mishpat echad yelechem. Hanhagas hadayanim, those are the nine differences that we are that we're about to see. Now we're only going to mention nine differences in the Mishnah, but the Gemara adds a few more. The Gemara on Lamed Vavam Beis is going to tell us another difference between them, that the Tosefta says by nefashos ein mashivin b'sanhedrin zakein v'saris. You don't put on the Sanhedrin someone who's old and doesn't have children, mishen labanim. And Rabbi Yehuda says even an achzari by mamonis, that's fine. By dinim mamonis, you could have an older person, you could have a person who doesn't have children by dinim mamonis. In the Yerushalmi, in the fourth parak of Sanhedrin, Yerushalmi adds by dinim mamonis, we are moshev b'sanhedrin, even someone who's under 20 years old and someone who's lo evi shtei saros. By dinim nefashos, we would never do such a thing. By dinim mamonis, you're allowed to have kama dinim b'yom echad. You could have multiple cases on the docket on a single day. By dinim nefashos, you can't be done shtei misos on a single day. So there are several other differences that the Gemara doesn't mention. The Rosh is bothered. Why doesn't the Gemara, the Mishnah over here, mention the difference that appears in Maseches Makos and Daf Vav, that Eidus Miuchedes, if one person sees Mechalon Zeh, and one person sees Mechalon Zeh, they're looking from two different windows, and they do not see each other, so Rashi says it's Kosher Bedina Mamlus, that's the way Rashi understands Eidus Miuchedes. The Gemara Makos says it's Kosher Bedina Mamlus, and it's Pasul Bedina Nefashos. So why doesn't that one make it to the list? It's always going to be like that. Whenever you have a list, so that's the challenge that the Rishonim always raise. Is this list really complete? And if it's not complete, why isn't it complete? But let's take a look at what the list actually says. Let's see what the differences are. So, ma ben dinim mamnus l'dinim fashos. What are the differences between dinim mamnus and dinim fashos? Number one is that dinim mamnus b'shlosha v'dinim fashos b'asam b'shlosha. The number of dayanim is a major difference. 3 versus 23. Number two, dinim mamnus poskman ben l'schus ben l'chova v'dinim fashos poskman l'schus ve'in poskhen l'chova. Second critical difference is that dinim mamnus, you can start the arguments in either direction. By dinim fashos, you always have to start the arguments l'schus. Number three, dinim mamnus matan al piyachad ben l'schus ben l'chova v'dinim nefashos matan al piyachad l'schus v'al pishnayim l'chova. By dinim mamnus, a simple majority vote is always going to carry the day, is always going to determine who wins the case. By dinim nefashos, if it's l'chova, you need at least a two-person majority. That was with the very reason why you need 23 dayanim, because you need an eda shofetas, at least 10 people to be able to vote l'chova and still to be, I'm sorry, an eda matzalas, 10 people to vote l'zchus and still lose. How can you have that? You need at least a two-person majority. So that would demand at least 12 judges voting l'chova, ein beis and shakel, and that's why we have an extra judge, so it's 23 judges. Dine mamnus, a fourth difference, machzirin bein l'zchus bein l'chova. Dine nefashos machzirin l'zchus ve'in machzirin l'chova. That they'll reverse the decision in dine mamnus in either direction. But by dine nefashos, they're only going to reverse the decision in favor of the person who is convicted. Dine mamnus, the fifth difference, hakol melamdin l'zchus v'chova. Dine nefashos hakol melamdin l'zchus ve'in hakol melamdin l'chova. We open the floor for anybody in dine mamnus to argue in either direction, l'zchus or l'chova. But by dine nefashos, hakol melamdin l'zchus. Anyone could be melamed l'zchus, but not anyone could be melamed chova. Sixth difference, dine mamnus hamlamed chova, melamed l'zchus, hamlamed l'zchus, melamed chova. Even if you previously advanced an argument l'zchus, you can now change and advance an argument l'chova, or vice versa when it comes to dine mamnus. But dine nefashos hamlamed chova, melamed l'zchus, hamlamed l'zchus, ein yachol lachzar ulalamed chova. But by dine nefashos, someone who's melamed chova can now advance an argument to be melamed zchus, but someone who's melamed zchus cannot go and advance an argument to be melamed chova. So that was difference number six, I believe. Yeah, so someone who's melamed zchus cannot go and be melamed chova. Rashi explains that it's a svara. Pasuk says, v'itzilu, meaning that the logic is, and it's not a svara, it's a pasuk, that it's based on the pasuk, v'itzilu ha'eda. V'itzilu ha'eda tells us we do whatever we can to help, to try to save the guy from dinin nefashos. So once someone is melamed zchus, we're not going to allow him to go after the person and be melamed chova. The Yad Ramah just raises the question, you know, it also says v'shaftu ha'eda. You know, it's ignoring half the pasuk. It says v'itzilu ha'eda, but it also says v'shaftu ha'eda. So what do you do with that? The din should be that a melamed chova should not be able to be Lamidzchus either. So he says, no, we learn it from the pasuk by Mesis. By Mesis it says, Lo sachmol v'los chaselav. Don't do extra things to try to cover for him, to try to have rachmanus on him. The implication is that it's dafka by a Mesis. If someone's going and causing other people to do avodah zarah, don't have any rachmanus. Every other dinin of Fashos case have plenty of rachmanus. How do we have plenty of rachmanus? Someone who's melamid chus is not able to come back and be melamid chova. The Rambam, the Sefer HaMitzvos, and in Perek Yud of Hilchos Sanhedrin, writes that the makor for this din is a pasuk of Losana al Riv Lintos, and that's what the Chinuch says as well. That it's based on that pasuk, not based on V'itzilu Ha'eda. So, but either way, this din certainly is one of the differences between Dina Mamanus and Dina Fashos. Now difference number 7. Dina Mamanus dun b'yom v'gomren b'layla. Dina Fashos dun b'yom v'gomren b'yom. Dina Mamanus, yeah, you're supposed to start the din during the day, but you could finish the din at night. Dina Fashos, the gemar din has to be b'yom as well. In Yam Shel Shlomo, in Maseches Chulin, the Marshal writes that Nagu Miktsas Nashim, that there are some women that are knowing that when they fast on Monday and Thursday, which is an old minhag that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that people fast on Mondays and Thursdays, that they the nagu miktsas nashim, that they don't eat basar v'yayin even on the laila shalachareihem, even on the night following Monday and Thursday. Monday night going into Tuesday, Thursday night going into Friday. And he says that the reason is, because why is it that you fast on Sheni v'chamishi? Because it's a time of din. Beis din is Yoshev and being done din. And Beis din Shalmata is doing so. Beis din Shalmaila is also being done din. So the Magen Avraham points out in Siman Tav Kuf Pei, Siv Katan Tes, that while the Marshal seems to have a Tav Sofer, because he talks about Dine Nefashos is Gomrin Belaila, which is not true. It's Dine Mamnes, it's Gomer Belaila. But bottom line is, there's some type of din that's Gomer Belaila. So just like down here, they're Gomer Belaila, up in Shemayim, they're Gomer Belaila as well. And that's why they're noeg to extend the fast somewhat. Not really fasting, but at least not to eat Basar V'yayin into the Laila at the time of Gemar Din for Dine Mamnes. Magen Avraham, however, completely disagrees. He says, I don't understand. Shas Din? Monday and Thursday is a time of din? No, it's not a time of din. It's a time of rachem. Him. He says, why is it that we fast on Monday and Thursday? It doesn't say anywhere that it's a time of din. Adraba, Adam Nidon Bechol Yom, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says. No, the reason you fast Monday and Thursday is because Monday and Thursday are Yimei Ratzon. Where does he get the idea that Monday and Thursday are Yimei Ratzon? So that the Torah quotes in Hilchos Tachnun, in some Kuf Lamed Daled, the Torah said, why is it on Monday and Thursday we had these long, this whole long thing to Tachnun? So the Torah quotes that because Monday and Thursday, I forgot which was which, when one of those is the day Moshe Rabbeinu went up to get the second Luchos, the other is the day he came down from Har Sinai together. So that makes it Yimei Ratzon. The fact that it was a day of Kabbalah's Luchos Shnios makes them Yimei Ratzon, and that's why we're Marbe B'Tachnunim. But the Achronim over there also discuss, is it because of that, or is it because it's Yimei Din? So Magen Avraham rejects this idea that it's Yimei Din, but it's not so pasha that you reject it. There's a Gemara in Shabbos that says that you shouldn't be Makis Dam, you shouldn't do bloodletting on Monday and Thursday. Why? Because it's times of Din. So that's a question. What exactly is that long Tachnun about? Is that long Tachnun about these days being days of Din or being days of Ratzon? Which is also interesting, because one would think that if you hold one, you can't hold the other, they're contradictory. But it could very well be that they're not contradictory, that it's a time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges, but he judges us at a time where he's happy with us, so that works in our favor. So it could be a time of both din and a time of ratzon, just like the upcoming Yom Noraim. Okay, says the Gemara further, the Mishnah further rather, the eighth difference. Dine Mamanus are gomrin bo bayom bein lizchus bein lechova. Dine Mamanus, you can start and finish the case on the same day, regardless of which direction it's headed in, regardless of which whether you're saying lizchus or lechova. Dine When it comes to Din Fashos, you have to wait till the Yom Shala Acharav to be Mechayiv. Lefichach ain danin. Because of that, we cannot judge start a case of Din Fashos lo be'erev Shabbos v'lo be'erev Yom Tov. Not Erev Shabbos nor Erev Yom Tov, because we're not going to be able to finish it the next day. The ninth difference, Din Mamanus Hatmeos V'Ataros Maschilin Min HaGadol. We begin the discussion with the Gadol Shabbadayanim. Din Fashos maschilin min atzad. But when it comes to dinin nefashos, we begin with the lesser of the dayanim, and the reason is, the Gemara is going to explain, they have to be maschil min atzad, because if you start with the gadol, we're afraid no one's going to want to argue. And by dinin nefashos, we have to have as open a discussion as possible, and make sure that no one is withholding any arguments that they could advance lizchus. So we start min atzad, we don't allow the gadol to express his opinion, because we're afraid it's going to quiet everybody else down. And the Chiddush Ha'Ra and Nimuka Yosef point out, by Mamonos Maschilim and Agadol, apparently we're not concerned about that. Shouldn't that be, the point is we're supposed to arrive at the truth, right? We're supposed to arrive at justice. So by Dini Mamonos, it's okay for the Gadol to start and everyone else to be terrified and afraid to say anything? How is that going to lead to the right answer? So they explain that, yeah, it's a concern that this might happen. We're less concerned by Dini Mamonos because it's not as chamor. Meaning we're a little more cautious about everything when it comes to Dine Nefashos. And Tulsa seems to say that way as well on Daf Lamed Vav. Tulsa has another explanation though. Tulsa, he says it could be the Pasuk L'san Al Riv, where we learn from here that you're not allowed to be Cholik on a Gadol, L'san Al Rav, that whole Pasuk is only said by Dine Nefashos. Meaning that the Talmidim themselves, or the lesser Dayanim themselves, feel that halachically they're not allowed to argue in Dine Nefashos, and that's what's going to quiet them down. But in Dine Mamonos, they know that they're allowed to argue, and therefore they're not going to be quieted down. They'll be perfectly happy to share. Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz in the Tumim has a different explanation. He says beautifully, he says, by Dinim Mamonos, Midin Torah, everyone is allowed to be done alone, meaning one person could be done. Dinim Yachin Mumcha is kosher to be done, Dinim Mamonos. So what's the worst that's going to happen? The Ketanim aren't going to say anything. The Lesser Dayanim aren't going to say anything. Okay, so is Yatzadin, I'll be Echad, I'll be the Gadol. A Yachin Mumcha could be done as well. So let the whole din be done by the gadol. That's a perfectly fine way to arrive at a result, at a gemar din. But when it comes to dinei nefashos, you need a sanhedrin of chav gimel. If you quiet down the other 22 guys right away, so then you don't really have 23 judges. You really only had one judge, and that's not okay by dinei nefashos. Hakol k'sher l'adon dinei mamonos. I guess there's a 10th difference. I kept saying 9 differences. Hakol k'sher l'adon dinei mamonos. Anyone could be done dinei mamonos. Veina kol k'sherin ladun dinei nefashos. But not everyone can be done dinei nefashos. Elokanu b'vim Yisraelim ha-Masiyim l'kuhuna. You need to have people who are miyuchasim, people who are at least Masiyim l'kuhuna, or are able to marry Kohanim. So that's a difference between dinei mamonos and dinei nefashos. Okay, says the Gemara now. Dinei mamonos mi be'inon drisha v'chakira. We're going to pick on the first point before we got to any of the 10 differences between dinei mamonos and dinei nefashos. We said the one thing that they have in common is that they both require drisha v'chakira. Says the Gemara, is that really true? That dinei mamonos requires drisha v'chakira? Uriminu, I'll ask you a stira from a brisa. Shtar shazmanu kasav becha b'nisan b'shmita. If you have a shtar that's dated on the first day of Nisan of a Shemitah year, uba'u edim va'amru hechatam edin al shtar zeh v'alo b'yom ploni imanu eisim b'makom ploni. If edim come and say to the edim in the shtar, they say about the edim in the shtar, that the Edom signed on the shtar could not have been there at the time of this loan on Echad B'Nisan of the Shemitah year, because on Echad B'Nisan of the Shemitah year they were with us somewhere else. So the halach is shtar kasher ve'edov ksherin. Everything is kasher. The shtar is kasher. The edim are kasher. No hazama. Why? Chashinun shema ichruhu ve'kasvuhu. We're choshesh that maybe this is a shtar mu'uchar, that the loan really happened earlier and they wrote the shtar at a later date. Shema ichru v'kasvuhu. There's a machlokas rishonim exactly how to understand what they did. Is it that they were there at the time of the loan on which was really Echad Ba'adar, and they wrote the shtar on Echad B'Nisan, they wrote the shtar on Echad B'Nisan, and then they wrote the date of Echad B'Nisan, because that's when they actually wrote the shtar? Or maybe no, they wrote the shtar on Echad Ba'adar when the loan happened, but they were ma'acher the shtar, they wrote a shtar mu'uchar. Machlokes Rishonim, whether you're allowed to do that. Are you allowed to write a shtar mu'uchar l'charchila? Certainly a shtar muktam you can't do, the Gemara is about to explain, because shtar muktam is going to cost l'kucho shalo kedin. Meaning if I write that I borrowed money 6 months ago, so that means that all of my nechassim from 6 months ago are now going to deem to be meshubad to paying back this loan. But that's not fair. The people that that bought my properties within the last 6 months, I didn't have any debt at the time. I had no way. They had no way of knowing that there was ever going to be a shiba. That would be to be tarif l'nalukucha shlokadin. But to be ma'achar the shtar, to write a shtar mulchar. So what's the worst that could happen? People who buy things from me for the next month, between when I borrow the money and when we write the shtar, that they won't lose? Okay, good. They won't lose. It'll be even better if as long as the person lending me the money is okay with that. He doesn't mind losing out on that month of being able to be tarif milakuchos. So that would be perfectly fine. But the point is over here that we're saying that shtar mocher is fine. The date of the shtar doesn't necessarily have to reflect anything by dine mamnas. But wait a second. If the date of the shtar doesn't reflect something accurate, and that's still okay, well, the whole notion of drisha v'chakira is to ascertain the date and place. Right? That's the whole point, is the time and place, so that we can make this into Edom Zomlin. But apparently, by Dina Mamanis, there is no need to ascertain the time and place.
The day we're talking about, what does it say in the Shtar itself? It says the loan took place on Echad V'Adar? Or does it say that we signed this Shtar?
Whatever the language is, they date the Shtar on the top and they write that a loan took place.
But they don't say if the date is the date of the shtar or the.
I mean, we're assuming that it could be mu'uchar, that it could be written in a way.
Vague, if you look at the document, you don't know for sure when
the loan. Right. So v'isal gadai bin drisha v'chakira hechi chashina shemir churuva kasvu. If it requires drisha v'chakira, how could we be choshesh of shtar mu'uchar? Ul tamech says Gemara. Wait, if you're going to ask that kasha, why would you bring a brisa? You could ask so much better. Bring a mishnah. Tikshi lach masnisin shtar chov amukdamin psulin v'amuchar and ksherin. You have a very good mishnah that says that a shtar chov that's mu'uchar is kosher and v'isal gadai that we need drisha v'chakira mu'uchar and amai ksherin. You could ask the same kasha. That if you need drisha v'chakira, why would a shtar mu'ulchar be kosher? So it says Gemara halo kasha. Da'adif amina ka'aminan. You can't ask why we didn't ask from the Mishnah, because the brisa, in a certain sense, is a stronger kasha. Why is the brisa? Meaning enochinami. The Mishnah is a strong kasha too, but the brisa makes a point that the Mishnah does not, and that is da'afilu echad benisan bishmita. That the point is that the Brisa didn't just say they wrote a Shtar Mulchar and that you could write a Shtar Mulchar. The Brisa was specific. It said that the Shtar said Echad b'nisan b'shmita. Now that is a very strange time to lend somebody money on the first day of Nisan of a Shmita year, because Shmita is sofim mishametas. At the end of that Shmita year, all loans are cancelled. So it's highly risky to be lending money on Echad b'nisan of a Shmita year. You're flushing your money down the toilet. It could be you're never going to get that money back because it's way too close to the time of Hashmatas Ksafim. So if you're going to be ma'achar ashtar, you're going to write a date in a shtar that's not the accurate date. You're going to want the shtar to at least look good. So if you're going to write a shtar mu'uchar, why would you pick a date that's so close to the Shemitah? It's like drawing attention to the shtar and to the fact that the date in there is not really the correct date. It's just not the derech of people to do that. Or one might have thought that it would be a highly unusual move to write a shtar mu'uchar and then put in a date that's such a funny date. So that's why it has to tell me, no, since Shemitah is sofa mishametas, it's not yet the time of Hashmatas Ksafim, so machsherinan, we're going to be machsher. But bottom line is, mikol makom kasha. Meaning, what we've been discussing for the last five or six lines is, where should we ask the kasha from? From the Braisa or from the Mishnah? Okay, wherever the kasha is from, in the end, it's okay to ask it from the Braisa. The kasha is a kasha. Meaning our Mishnah said that you require drisha v'chakira even for dina mamanis. But we have a Braisa and we have a Mishnah that says that a shtar mu'uchar is kasher. So apparently, you don't need drisha v'chakira b'dina mamanis because mu'uchar destroys the whole notion of drisha v'chakira. You're not able to pin down a specific date for the dina mamanis. So Gemara says, simin charpash, that there are four letters that signify the names of the people who are involved in the discussion of answering the question. Now, even though there are four letters, there are really only three answers. It's the fourth one is going to build off of the third one and is going to say something else. But the simon involves all four people that engage in the discussion. So, Amr Rabbi Chanina, that's the ches. Dvar, and this is answer number one to this question. Dvar Torah, Echad Din Mamnus, Echad Din Nefashos, B'drisha V'Chakira. When our mission is discussing is on a Daraisa level. On a Daraisa level, Din Mamnus also requires B'drisha V'Chakira. Shnemar, Mishpat Echad, Iye Lachem. Umatam Amru Din Mamnus, Lo Bina B'drisha V'Chakira. Why then are we so lenient with Din Mamnus to not require B'drisha V'Chakira? Kadesh Lotinol Delos, B'fnei Lovin. Meaning, Midrabanan, they did away with B'drisha V'Chakira for Dine Mamanis, so that it will be easier for people to borrow money. They didn't want to be Noel Delos Bifnei Lovin. Elameata, but if that's the case, Ta'u lo Yishalmu, meaning if really, really Beis Din should have the right to do Drisha V'Chakira, and it's only Dimid Rabbanan that the Rabbanan took away that right from Beis Din to do Drisha V'Chakira, so if Beis Din makes a mistake, they shouldn't have to pay for that mistake. If Beis Din made a mistake in Dine Mamanis, they shouldn't have to pay back the party that was wronged, because we've taken away Beis Din's ability to ascertain the truth, meaning we've taken away Beis Din's ability to do Drisha V'Chakira. So you can't blame them. How can you make them pay if you've taken away their ability to do what they would normally do to make sure that everything comes out okay? So as we are, but if you're right in principle, but if Tolo Yishamlu, then Kolshkin Shetinol Delos Bifnei Lovin. What was the whole point of taking away the rights to Drisha V'Chakira? Is Shetinol Delos Bifnei Lovin make sure that people lend money? If a person knows that even if Beis Din messes up and costs them money, they're never going to get reimbursed, then they're not going to want to lend money either. So it's going to be counterproductive to say Tohu Lo Yishalmu. So I'm going to say Tohu Mishalmin, even though they don't have the ability to be Dorish V'Choker, to do Drisha V'Chakira. That's how Rashi understands that. It could be that if you would leave them to be Dorish V'Choker, they wouldn't have made the mistake. But Eina Chinami, Afal Pikein, they're still going to have to pay, otherwise it would be Noel Delos Bifnei Lovin. Chidush Aran has what to say about that. He says, you know, where their mistake was not shaykh to the Drishos V'Chakiros, there's no svar that they should be Pater at all. They should be Omer al Emes even without Drisha V'Chakiros. So he doesn't understand what's the kash of the Gemara, Tohu Lo Yishalmu. Tohu Lo Yishalmu is if the mistake relates in some way to the Drisha V'Chakira. It could be that that Be'emes, they don't have to pay when it doesn't relate to Drisha V'Chakira. So when they say Dayin Shetah Tzarech L'Shalim, it's talking about when he's taught by something that's not related to Drisha V'Chakira. Furthermore, the Chiddush Aran says, Lashon the Gemara is mashma, that when we ask, Elameata Tohu Lo Yishalmu, that it's going on what we said, Shlo Tinol Delos Bifnei Lovin. In order not to be Nol Delos Bifnei Lovin, we should say that if Tohu Lo Yishalmu, according to Rashi, that's not at all what we're saying. It's not in order not to be Nol Delos Bifnei Lovin. It's saying Tohu Lo Yishalmu because of the lack of Drisha V'Chakira. So the Ran understands the Gemara a little differently. He says, the Gemara thought that if they make a mistake, they're not going to pay, because if we're mechayiv them to pay, it turns out that that itself is going to be Nol Delos Bifnei Lovin. Why? Why is that going to be Nol Delos Bifnei Lovin by being mechayiv Dayanim? Where are you going to find Dayanim that are willing to take that risk? I mean, I'll be a Dayan, I'll be a nice guy, and I'll serve as a Dayan, as a mediator, as a judge in your case. Yeah, but not if I stand to lose from it. You're not going to find Dayanim that are willing to be Yoshev Bedin, because they're afraid that they might make a mistake and then it might cost them. So the Gemara says, the Gemara's answer is, if a Dayan makes a mistake, he's not going to pay. If we were to say that a Dayan doesn't pay, then Kolshke, no one's going to want to lend money in the first place. I mean, it's one thing that you'll have a hard time finding Dayanim. Much worse if you can have a hard time finding lenders. So the Gemara is balancing those two concerns. They're both a little bit of an Ilas Delas. Having a hard time finding Dayanim, yeah, it's a little bit of an Ilas Delas. But a bigger Ilas Delas is if you have a hard time finding lenders. Yeah, you don't need that many Dayanim, just that a few Dayanim could hear many, many cases. Okay, Rava Amar Masnisan Da'acha, the Rava's answer number two to explain how it is that in our Mishnah we say you require Drisha V'Chakira by Dine Mamanis, yet in the Braisa and the Mishnah we see Shtar Me'uchar is Kasher. It says Masnisan Da'acha B'Dine Knossos. There are different types of monetary cases. Our Mishnah is talking about Dine Knossos. V'idach Be'odos V'alva'os. Whereas the Shtar Me'uchar being Kasher, that's by Hodos V'alva'os. So Drisha V'Chakira is by Dine Knossos, where there is no such thing as a Shtar Me'uchar or anything like that. The person did a crime for which they pay a Knas. So they were not Mevatel Drisha V'Chakira for Dine Knossos. Rav Papa Amar, third answer. Rav Papa says, Idi V'Idi Bahoda'a V'Alva'a. Kan bedin meruma, kan bedin she'ena meruma. Now they're both talking about hodos v'alvos, but it depends on the case. Some cases seem very straightforward, and it seems that everyone's presenting the facts. You know, sometimes people come and they have some sort of monetary dispute, and everybody's lying. Everybody's lying about something. Something's up with everybody. There's always, but sometimes they come and everyone just. I've had a few times where people came with a monetary dispute. They didn't want to go to a beis and they just wanted to go to a rabbi, and there was no arguments. They just wanted to do what was right. They had no idea what was right. So they were all telling the truth, exactly what happened. No one disputed the other person's story. So a very straightforward case. So then you just have to find the din. So when it's a din meruma, you need drisha v'chakira. When there's someone's lying, and that you have to investigate. You have to ask some questions. You have to look them in the eye. You have to see if they, you know, you have to put them under pressure. But when it's not a din meruma, so you don't need that pressure of drisha v'chakira. That's where drisha v'chakira would not be required. That's where shtar me'uchar. Reish Lakish Rami, and Reish Lakish highlights this point. Reish Lakish's comment highlights this point. Not a fourth answer, but highlights this point because he asks a stira. Ksiv b'tzedek tishpot amitzecho. Ksiv tzedek tirdof. It says on the one hand b'tzedek tishpot, on the other hand it says tzedek, a double tzedek. So okay, tzad kan b'din meruma, kan b'din shein meruma. When it's din meruma, you need to be extra careful. You need to pursue much more to be able to make sure that you get the right call. Rav Ashi Amar Masnisin Kedushanin. Rav Ashi says our Mishnah, you're right, the answers we've given for our Mishnah are perfectly good. But as far as Tzedek versus Tzedek, he says, I have a different idea about Tzedek versus Tzedek. He says, Krai Echad Din VeEchad Pshara. You know, the pasuk that says B'Tzedek Tishpot, that's talking about Din. Tzedek Tirdof? That's talking about Pshara. And we've discussed earlier in the Masechta the value of Pshara, whether Pshara is better than Din, Pshara is worse than Din, but the idea is that Pshara is, this Gemara is assuming Pshara is better than Din. It's a double Tzedek when you do Pshara. Kidetanya, Tzedek Tirdof, Echel the Din, Vechel the Pshara. When would you require Pshara and is Din not good enough? Ketzad. You have two boats that are passing by the river, Upa, and there's a path where only one of them are able to fit through at a time. Upagu zebaze, and they both arrive at that bottleneck at the same time. Im ovros shtehen tovos. If they're both going to try to pass at the same time, they're both going to sink because they'll crash, and that will be the end of both of them. So that might be the din, though. The din is neither one has kadima over the other. So good, let them both try, and they'll both die. B'zeachazeh shtehen ovros. But if they go one after the other, they'll both be able to get through. So that's why you have to come up with some sort of pshara. Let one go before the other, and the Gemara will say, and they'll compensate them for the rights to go first, or if one has a reason that they need to go first, so you'll use pshara. V'chein shnei gemalim shayu olim b'malos beis choron. Similarly, if you have two camels that are climbing up the mountain by the malos beis choron. Malos beis choron is, this is I guess a daf yomi coincidence as we approach Chodesh Elul, is on Rosh Hashanah we say, the Mishnah says that the kol ba'olam are over the front of kivnei maron, and the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says my kivnei maron, and one of the answers, what does it mean kivnei maron? Kemalos beis Choron, like the Malos Beis Choron, where you can only pass one at a time. So in Rosh Hashanah, we each pass in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu one at a time. But the point is, you can only pass one at a time, and there are two camels that are both trying to get there. Upagu zebazeh, and they run into each other. So im alushnei and shnei noflin. If they both try to get into that narrow path at the same time, they'll both fall. Bezeacharzeh shnei molin. If they go one after the other, they'll both be able to make it. So haketzat. So what do you do? How do you decide which one is going to go? So tuuna v'she'ena tuuna, if one of them is carrying a burden and the other one is not carrying a burden, tidcha she'ena tuuna mipnei tuuna. Let the one that's not carrying a burden wait a little bit so that the one that's carrying a burden should be able to go first. Krova v'she'ena krova, tidcha krova mipnei she'ena krova. If you have one that's closer to its point of origin and the other one that's further away from its point of origin, let the one who's been traveling longer go first. But hayushtein krova, stay in Rechokos, if they're both come from the same point of origin that are the equally far or equally close, Hatel Pshar b'nehen umalas charzulazu. So come up with the pshara. Let them pay each other. Let the one that goes first pay a couple of bucks to the one that's waiting as a compensation for their willingness to wait. Now, normally we have dine kedima, we have halachos of what comes first. You know, you have a Talmud Chacham would come before an Am Haaretz. things like that. There's a discussion in Poskim. There's a minhag to receive the Maftir Aliyah on the Shabbos before a yard site. The Chidah writes that the source for the minhag is based on Beis Yosef in the name of the Kolbo. Beis Yosef writes in the name of the Kolbo that if the son is Maftir Benavi, he's Matzil his father from Gehenim. So that's why the minhag is that the son of a mace is Maftir Benavi Kol Yud Beis Chodesh. So we don't do it Kol Yud Beis Chodesh. Instead, we do it at the time of the yard site. So in Birkei Yosef, the Chidah discusses, what if you have two people have yard site, one is a Talmud Chacham and one is not a Talmud Chacham? Do you assume that the Talmud Chacham has Kedima? So it's interesting, he quotes a Chacham Echad who says, Dafka over here, Talmud Chacham does not have Kedima. Why? Because the Talmud Chacham could do Nachas Ruach to the Neshama of the Father in other ways. He could learn Torah, he could do other things that will make for the Amaretz, this is his only chance. He doesn't have other ways to do Nachas Ruach to the Neshama of his father. So maybe Dafka Talmud Chacham should not. In Shuvas Betzal HaChacham, or Betzal Stern, Chelek Dalid, explains based on this brisa, Tzedek Tzedek Tirdof, Echel Din Vechel Pshari. He says, Tzedav Pasha, that all the Bnei Tzibor are Shutfim with each other in the Zuchiyos of the Tzibor. So how can you say that the Amar to the Talmud Chacham, you can make Nachas Ruach to your father by learning Torah, and Al Bizoch and the Aliyah to Maftir? The Aliyah to Maftir is one of the Zuchiyos of the Tzibor. So what does it matter that he gets that Zuchus for his father's neshama through your learning? Your learning is a private matter. This is a public matter. This is a tzibur matter. It's like shnei shutfin that are zocha and something that they can't use together. So you can't say one of them can't say to the other one, you're rich anyway. What do you need this for? For shutfim, it doesn't matter that one of them is rich. What do you need it for? This is something that we got b'shutfus, so we should be able to use together. So Rav Tzal Stern says, based on our brisa, we understand though that you have shtei svinos avros benar zachu shtei, and they both have the same zuchus in it. In pagu zebazen, they're not able to pass. So you have to make some sort of pshara. Achas tuna va'achas she'ena tuna. You don't make a pshara. The halacha is your docha de'ena tuna mipnei tuna. Pshara is only when all else is equal. I mean, the first thing you look for is some inequality when you can't accommodate both. So that's exactly what we're doing. We're looking for some inequality, even if it doesn't. If by right the Talmud Chacham should be able to say, I want the maftir as well. Tan Rabbanan, Tzedek, Tzedek.
Regarding the Levat, who goes first, the maftir, this happens all the time when you have the Kaddish, two people at the same, want the Amud at the same time.
Right.
So I once heard that the one who is Mevater, the one who gives up, he has just as much of a schut for the Neshama as the one who actually davens.
Right, so a lot of people will take that attitude, that the greatest aliyah to neshama is to be mevater. But a lot of people don't take that attitude, so we have to have rules that, you know.
What's the truth in Shamayim? What's the truth?
I don't know. We'll have to wait till we get there. I don't know. Tzad Rabbanan. Tzedek Tzedek Tirdof Halach Achar Bezdin Yafa. Tzedek Tzedek Tirdof means find the best Bezdin. Acharab, meaning even if it means traveling. Acharab Lazul Lulud, Acharab Yochum Zakai Levor Chayil. Tana, Kol Rechayim, once we mentioned Bar Chayil, Kol Rechayim Beborni, Shavua Ben, Shavua Ben. There were different places with that gezeros, the Jews were not allowed to celebrate life cycle events. So they would have to make simanim so that people would know when it's going on. So if there was the sound of a mill running in Borni, everyone knew that was time for a bris milah. Rashi says Shavua Ben means a bris milah. Other Rishonim say maybe it's a Shalom Zachar or something. Ora Ner Bar Chayil, if there's Ora Ner in Bar Chayil, Mishtasham, Mishtasham. That's how you know that there's a wedding there, that they would light extra candles beyond what was necessary. This is one of the sources that you light candles at a time of simcha, that a candle is an indication of simcha, and that's why at weddings, the minhag of many is that they have candles either by the chuppah or people walk down to the chuppah carrying candles. There are other reasons for it as well, but it's based on the idea that you light candles for extra simcha. Tan Rabbanan, Tzedek Tzedek Tirdof Halachach Chacham Liyeshiva. Follow after the chamim where they are with their strong batei din. Achar Ablaz V'lud, Achar Rabbi Yochum and Zakeh Levar Chayil, Achar Rabbi Yishua Lepakiyin, Achar Rabbi Gamliel Liyivna, Achar Rabbi Akiva Lebnei Brak, Achar Rabbi Masya Leromi, Achar Rabbi Chananya Ben Tradion Lesichni, Achar Rabbi Yossi Letzipuri, Achar Rabbi Yehuda Ben Beseru Lenetzivin, Achar Rabbi Yishua Legola, Achar Rabbi Lebeisharim, Achar Chacham Lishchas Hagazis. That you find wherever they are, and we just identify a whole bunch of different chachamim and where you can find them in the different places. So the idea of Riboy Neros is discussed also when it comes to Nero Shabbos, that if is Nero Shabbos an indication of greater Simcha even when you don't need them. So there's a Ramah that says that even if you don't need the Neros because you have enough light, nevertheless you still light Nero Shabbos because it's Tosefes Ora. Tosefes Ora is also worth something. Well, contemporary posts can discuss, what if it's not even that? What if it's not even Tosefes Ora? Imagine lighting a candle in this room. Shraga B'tia Ramaya Hani. It doesn't, in broad daylight, you light a candle, it doesn't really do anything. So that the poskim struggle with. How is it that we're able to make a bracha and light Nero Shabbos when you have electric lights in the room? So what most poskim recommend is L'chadchila, the woman should remember when she's lighting candles to also turn on the light and have in mind that the bracha is going on both the light and the candles, and that certainly would cover it. Question is, you're in a hotel or something like that, that becomes much more complicated. Okay, Beis Hashem, we'll pick up at the two dots tomorrow.